Hi, this is Nick Noble, and you're listening to Houndsy, the Steel Army Podcast.
Welcome to Houndsy. As you just heard, it is the Steel Army Podcast. I am Dan Yost, and with me tonight to discuss a loss to WVU, some kits of mixed opinions, some upcoming events, roster updates, and this bit of controversy you may have heard with Major League Soccer. No, not the referees. No, not the bad jerseys. No, not the expensive season pass on Apple, but the other thing that they've fucked up in the past week or so. Fun episode tonight, boys, right? Yeah. One of my two friends, his name is Vesty, or at least that's what his good friends call him. What's up, man?
Not much. I like that about halfway through the intro, Noble was like, wait, what am I doing here? What am I saying? I love that pause.
Yeah. Love everything about it.
Instant regret halfway through it.
Hey, stayed with it. It's going to be one of those things, as we do episodes, there'll be a decision about 5 seconds before we record if it's going to be a Noble show or a not Noble show. We'll find out.
You got to start getting a collection of various people.
Doing the intro? That might be the
various people who we don't particularly like and probably don't particularly want to do it, but we somehow wrangle them into doing it.
I mean, just off the bat, now that Chambers is back in the... Brendan, he's the fucking coach who's at Hartford now. I'm blank on the last name. Get him to do one. yeah, that's actually a fun idea.
We'll think of some people that
who've hit the notorious list and see if we can get them to do it. Also tonight, the person who made that fine recording, Ariana. Tell us about that. How'd that go, and how you doing?
I'm doing good. A little sick. Developing a little bit of a cough. So that'll be fun in 32 degree weather on Saturday. But getting Nick Noble to record, that was cool. I walked over. Now, it had snowed a couple days before the WVU game, so the stands weren't cleared. So it was a treacherous walk over to... Coach Nick is when I called out, because I was like, I don't really know what to say. He came over and I introduced myself, and I said, you know, after the game, could you come over and, you know, record a little thing for Houndsy? And he goes, of course. So he comes over after the game, and took us 3 tries to get that. The first try, he forgot what we were called. The second try, he forgot the order, because I was like, you know, you just say, Nick Noble, you're listening to the Houndsy, the Steel Army Podcast. He said the Steel Army Houndsy Podcast, I think is what he said the second time, and I was like, well, that kind of works. But
did you save the other recordings?
I did not, unfortunately. Yeah, the one I just kept recording, and then when I cropped it to save the good part, I accidentally deleted instead of just saving it as a second recording, so fortunately those are lost to the ether. But yeah, he was super nice about it. He was actually upset that he wasn't getting complaints sent to his email. Because he said, I asked him if he would be up for, you know, conversation with us or whatnot, an interview maybe in the future. And he said, yeah, just email me. And he was like, you know, my email, he pointed to his shirt. And I was like, yeah, nick.noble@mail.wvu.edu. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, we used it as our complaints. And he was like, I forget, because I don't get any complaints. So I guess that's a good thing. And I was like, yeah, but now I just want to send him an email to complain. Like, I want to harass him.
I am annoyed with email. All of you listening that none of you have sent an email to Nick Noble. What the hell, people?
Send an email now and
or
just comment on...
this show is so perfect that no one has any complaints.
Well, I'll take that.
A lot of ways you could take it.
Yeah, but a super nice guy, really chill.
He is a very gracious person for having a bunch of people yell that they were fornicating with both his mother and his sister at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Hell of a gracious guy about it.
Yeah. Super nice to Jesse, who wears, you know, his Miracle on the Mon shirt every time we cross paths with him. So, yeah, just a great dude. I went over because Bob didn't want to start the game again. I don't know. It was past halftime. Bob didn't come out until 5 minutes past halftime again. So, went over in that moment when they were out on the field alone, talked to him. So, it was very nice.
Yeah, he's been a good kid.
Yeah.
He just made the mistake of playing for the wrong team at the wrong time.
Well,
hey.
He actually made a comment that he would come back. He's like, I'm ready. Bring me back.
To play.
And I was like, don't tease me. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we can roll out the 6-5 footage and just watch him dive in over top balls as they go past him. Reaction time took a bit off.
Yeah, we don't want you, but an honorary goalkeeper, maybe.
You can go play for Detroit.
Yeah.
Get that going.
Yeah.
After Steinwasser finally, at some point, has a bad year. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Speaking of WVU, Ariana, you were there, as we've just noted.
I was.
Beloved, I mean, as much as we keep scoring these preseason games, lose 2-0. So we'll start with the big question. What the hell happened?
Miscommunication is what I saw a lot. I think there were a couple of overeager... I mean, there were only like two trialists in the first half and maybe two more in the second half. And they just... I feel like they were overeager to prove something. And I just think that they were not... That there was, the communication wasn't there. With some of our seasoned players too, and for some reason, Junior was having an off day. I don't want to blame it all on him, but
you just did.
Bob was, Bob was yelling at him. Had actually called him over and stood him on the sidelines for, you know, 5+ minutes, yelling at him. Well, talking loudly to him, maybe wasn't yelling, but. Yeah, so Junior was just, I think he was just having a rough day and wasn't really meshing with, there was a trialist that was real, you know, they were paired up together in the midfield and they were not meshing well. So I think it was just a lot of that. Some nice goals coming from WVU. I think they took our jeering to as a good thing. Because, of course, you know, we're not going to stay silent in a preseason game. So there was a kid who had one of the protective masks on, and we kept calling him Batman for obvious reasons, including once when he fell. Someone started the na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and then right when he fell, we hit the Batman, and it was probably the perfect timing. So that felt...
Get the ones where you can get them.
Great. I just... Yeah, but... It was, you know, clearly there's still a little bit of communication, a little bit of meshing, still, you know, some, you know, big spots that we might be missing a person. I feel like we're still missing a pair for the forward position with Tiza. So, and it just so happened that two were just out of reach of the keeper. So.
What the hell was Danny Griffin playing 90 minutes for?
That's a good question. I don't know. Bob seems to be taking this preseason, I don't want to say more serious because that sounds like he's never taken it seriously, but we're seeing a lot more of our go-to names in these preseason games than, you know, our signees or even our, like, I mean, Kiza played a lot. Luke came in. Kenny played a lot, so you know Kenny didn't. I don't think Kenny played a single preseason game last year. I mean, I could look. I have the stats in front of me.
Yeah, that's why he got the clipboard, Kenny. And we all kind of assumed he was, you know.
Yeah. So
it did not come off as a guy who's ready to play damn near every game.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's just you know, trying to hit the ground running with some of the new folks, since, you know, about half of our team is new people. So trying to get them to mesh with, you know, our seasoned players, and you can't do that if the seasoned players aren't playing. But I don't know, it just feels like for some reason we're getting a lot, you know. I could see, you know, Robbie played a lot. He's coming back from an injury of last season. So that doesn't surprise me. The ones that did were absolutely what you said. Danny G, Kenny playing it all surprises me every time. So,
was Kenny taking the corner kicks when he was out there?
No, no, it was Robbie. Robbie's back to the corner kicks. Yeah.
Did you notice?
We can't say anything anymore because now all of our forwards are going to be short, 5'9". So get him up there, I guess. I don't know. I think he's still the shortest on the team. I'm going to stick by that.
I feel like, not to skip ahead to the kit thing, but I feel like, I mean, obviously they put the keepers on one side, but then I feel like they put Danny and Mertz on the opposite side of the stage just to not make it look as ridiculous as it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, anyone next to these two keepers is just insane. I mean, Eric Dick's 6'5", Jacob Randolph's 6'4". That's a foot taller than me, a foot and change taller than me, which is just wild to me. I mean, can't wait to see him up there with Babacar Diagne. He's also 6'5". Jake Lentloop, Lentcoop, 6'3". I mean, jeez. And then the rest of them are 5'9". Kenny, Danny, Kiza.
Bob wants no one between 5'10 and 6'2". Just not, not permitted.
No.
If you had to pick out one through the preseason games you've watched, if you had to pick out one of the newbies to keep your eye on, who you calling out? Everyone who's going on Saturday, who should they be getting excited for?
It's a good question.
I only ask the good ones.
Yeah. I'm going to say Jackson Wolfe. I think that's how you say his last name. From Pitt.
The Panther, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of playing time he'll get. He graduated, I think, 2 years ago, and he spent 1 year, I believe, at Colorado Rapids 2. So he's not a rookie per se, but he's got a very commanding presence. And I think I said this, don't know if it was on the pod or just while we were talking about him when he was announced, but he's, even when I, you know, watched him play in college, he has a very, always has had a very commanding presence as the captain at Pitt in the midfield. And I think that he's really learning from, I mean, one of the best captains with Kenny. So, but I think they complement each other. That was my nerves, you know, signing him was, you know, him and Kenny as a pair. But I think he complements Kenny really well, playing style wise. And he seems to have a good, I don't want to say a good soccer knowledge because they all have a good soccer knowledge, but he has a good, like, coach's knowledge. You know, he sees how the field is unfolding. He sees, you know, how.
Are you giving him the coach's kid shifting label?
Yeah.
Video room rat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Student of the game.
But I think it's a compliment to him. I think he's playing well, so. I would look out for him if you're going to look out for anyone. There's a couple other names I could throw out there, but he's the one that's really of the newbies. I haven't seen some of the other ones play yet. So Bradley Sample hasn't played. Jacob Randolph played 30 minutes, but on the opposing side, like, we couldn't see him up close. He was in front of our section, but we were behind the bench.
Is that making you think
then
that
Pierre Caillet,
that Dick is the starter?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's, yeah. I mean, Dick's older, more seasoned in, you know, the league. Randolph's just out of college, so I have a feeling that it won't be the situation like we had last year where one of our keepers doesn't get any minutes, unless we sign a third keeper. That's entirely possible, but I can definitely see us, you know, flipping heads or tails on Eric Dick or Jacob Randolph starting in some games. But I think that the leading number will be Eric.
Last question on this one, based on what you saw, losing this game, big deal, little deal, no deal?
I think it's a little deal. I think it's a little weird, a little embarrassing. Not the worst. I said, you know, it's a little embarrassing. While I was there, I said, it's a little embarrassing to lose to a college team, but was reminded a couple years ago we lost pretty bad to another college team, so
that not Nova, that bad. The Nova loss, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you could tell, I think, the WVU players put more effort into this game, I think, than some of our players did. I mean,
they're
were
also
playing
a top college team too. They're not.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Not a bunch of slips.
I'm excited to see how we play against Pitt, because which is the next one, which we'll talk more about later. But because they're also a top tier, relatively top tier, you know, soccer team, and but you can tell that. I mean, they had two captains, which I. Threw me off a little bit. Batman was a captain, so but you could tell that some of the players were on their way out as seniors. This might have been their last hurrah as a college soccer player, so they were really putting all their effort in.
They seemed to get looks in front of a pro coach as well.
I don't be intrigued to go back and see if we ever had a WVU named trialist.
We've only started playing WVU the last couple years. That was not, they weren't on the standard rotation, so.
Because, like, Pitt, we have quite a few people from Pitt we've pulled, so.
Oh, you've
noticed.
You
have to think that, you have to think, and, you know, you have to think that getting some of those players in front of Bob in preseason might have had him write a name or two down. And then he promptly, you know, watched them all season. He's always at the Pitt game, so.
Yeah. Student of the game.
Yeah.
Bob Lilly. All right. Let's get on to the more fun part of it. New kits revealed last night.
Woohoo.
Fun little party. Fun little gathering. Vesti, you weren't there, but you did your hard work earlier in the day. If you want to share with the class, including anyone from the front office who's listening, how did you have images by 9 a.m. Yesterday?
What to say, unlisted store pages aren't so unlisted as people think, especially when there's a search bar in the store and you can just say, search Charlie. although they did take the search bar off a few days ago, so I think they... you know, saw that I was snooping, but I still had the page in my history, so I just pulled it up. And
oh, my man.
I figured they'd have it there early because they were probably wanting to sell them. So, caught them starting to load in the images during the day. But, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder. I didn't put them out there. I just, you know, put it in our private chat.
I was impressed that no one did anything with them. Everyone was well-behaved.
Yeah. I'm happy it only took us till, you know, 9 hours before the website was supposed to go, or 12 hours before the website was supposed to go live. You know, it took us up until then, that day, to find it. So, could on them.
I would have thought we would have had it before someone was going to slip up, but no. Although it was fun, Grubba walked by towards the end of the event, walked past me, and made some comment that he was very relieved that the pictures did not were not leaked beforehand. And I went, oh, they were.
Yeah.
And he went, and like, you could see, like, his shoulders dropped a little bit.
So. I told Jeff that you know, we had discovered it. And he was upset for maybe 3 seconds before he said, okay, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, glad to have your priorities right. And then he promptly sent the person who put the store together to me to say, how did you find it? Now, I found it you know, you sent the link, you know, for us to look at, but then if you just Googled Riverhounds jersey, it was the second link that popped up on Google. So that's how I found it again later, you know, to keep checking it throughout the day. So that's what I told them, and they were like, oh, shoot.
They should probably just get off of Google. O'clock.
You can't freeload stuff on the internet. You gotta wait as long as you can. Yeah. Some bot from some search engine is gonna find it.
Yeah, he was upset, but I mean, we kept it under wraps, like you said. I would say there was probably only six people who knew going into that event.
If that was us a couple of years ago, we would have.
Yeah.
Oh, we would have leaked that shit with glee.
Yeah, I mean, Adidas knows what we did.
they fuckers. So yeah, nice event. Pomp is the MC, always nice. I did not know until it happened, or right before it happened, that they were going to reveal it live on KDK with a stairwell entrance of the kits. But it seemed it went well. I got texts from a couple different people, so it definitely got some eyeballs on it yesterday from the greater Pittsburgh community. In speaking generalities, before we get to thoughts on the kits themselves, Ariana, what was your takeaway on the event?
I liked it. I think I didn't expect as many people to be there. They kept touting it as like an exclusive, get your tickets now before they're sold out type of event, but it didn't really feel like that when you walked in and there was, you know, a couple hundred people there. But I liked it. It was a good planned event. They had pictures of the kits on players, you know, coming down the stairwell that they pulled down when they revealed it. They had a video put together. And then they had the players in the actual kits themselves, which was cool to see. Better than just having it on a mannequin for, you know, someone to look at. You actually got to see the whole thing put together. Socks, shorts, shirt, the whole nine yards. So was a well put together event. I only have one complaint. There was no food.
Yeah, that was a miss.
And it wasn't an open bar.
But you got a drink ticket. Was it?
Well, yeah. Well, he wouldn't let me use it until I bought a second drink. And I don't know if that was just I caught him at the wrong time, but he was like, "Wait, you can use a drink to get, but you have to get something else too." And I was like, "To pay?" And he was like, "Yeah, no. I'm driving. I could only really milk one for the 2 hours."
Oh.
Or not even, but
I feel like someone pulled something on you there, because I used mine straight away. Well, first I was holding the ticket thinking it was a raffle.
Wow.
And then I finally figured out that no, this is to be exchanged for alcohol. So then I did just that.
My mom did say she thinks they should have like raffled one off. You know, had everyone put like a dollar in, everyone who was there put a dollar in for a ticket.
Oh, you could have,
off like a signed kit.
Have everyone sign one straight away.
Yeah.
First kill in your block. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, you're rocking not only the new kit, but a new signed kit. So
the thing with the bridge kit, now I just thought this, that kit will not make for a good autograph kit.
No.
You're on excluding the yellow one.
The numbers. I mean, the Bumblebee, the Hoops kit wasn't either. That was 90% black. 75% black, besides the yellow hoops.
But yeah, but the hoops were wide enough that you could do something with it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Vesty, yeah, we'll start with you.
Both.
Let's just get into the meat of it here. You saw them. What was your takeaway?
So, I mean, there's been rumors and chatter and stuff leading up to it that the home kit was going to have some sort of bridge thing to it. I actually thought that sort of leaky, sort of not, but if you go to the Montour sports place page, they have pictures of some sort of event that happened over the winter for Dick's Sporting Goods, where they had Charlie kits, and they had like they were gray with a like a line art map of Pittsburgh kind of superimposed in part of it. So I actually thought that that might have been reflective of the first team's kit, like we'd see that there as well. But it's definitely a Charlie kit. Like, you know, it's graphic, it's borderline busy. I don't particularly love it. I agree with there's a group of us on the Discord. Like, we all love the idea of it, but we don't necessarily love the execution of the home kit. It's just, I don't know. I just don't really go for like the pixelated look and stuff. And like personally, I'd rather have one of the bridges that are next to the stadium than presumably grabbing one of the, you know, Clemente or Carson Bridge or whichever one.
It represents all the bridges in Pittsburgh, we were told last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's specifically a certain bridge.
Represents all of them.
I mean, you get away with that if you had like bridge, generic bridge design, like in the crest itself, where you have like that, like grid work. That's what I thought they were gonna go for, not like an actual picture of a bridge, more or less. But so I'm kind of like, on it, which is I know what not what they want to hear. I think it's a good starting point though. Like it makes me, that they've got something like so custom, like so specific. It makes me excited for what they might do next, especially if they've been talking about having third kits or maybe even special kits. Obviously they have like a special kit for like events and stuff that they have, so you know if they can get new kits easily and quickly, you know, they could do a lot of neat stuff with it this year for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. And speaking of the third kit, I guess my big takeaway from this was, if you told me that that was the third kit, I'd be cool. Awesome. You went out there, you got a little crazy, you got a little goofy. Some people are going to like it, some people are going to hate it. That's what a third kit should be. I am very annoyed that this is the primary kit. I don't like that you spent 6 years establishing a home look and you've thrown that out the window. Home kits should have a bit of a perennial, timeless look to them, where you have a main motif or theme that you modify every year, but that's still your home look. And they've burned that to the ground here, and I don't like that. For the shirt itself, first off, at the bottom of the bridge, there's this jagged. It's not like a straight line at the bottom of the bridge. It's this jagged thing. What the hell is that? I don't get it. It's not for me. And like I said, if that was the third kit, I'd be more enthusiastic about it. But as the primary kit, I cannot endorse it at all. But you saw the kit, you know, whatever, 12 hours early or 10 hours earlier, whatever it was. And I was kind of dreading that they're going to release this thing and people were going to have a bit of a mini revolt. And if the people who were at the party last night are to be believed, and if the internet is to be believed, which is a stretch because Twitter is not real life, but if they are to be believed, they got a hit on their hands. So good on them. I might be in the minority here, but
yeah, if you're listening to us kind of being down on it, apparently we don't know taste these days because we're in the minority.
It's at least, well, according to the internet, according to social media, it's a banger.
Jeff, he asked me again afterwards, you know, what I thought, which one I liked better. I gave him my opinion, and he did say the home kit seems to be liked more by people who are newer to soccer, or yeah, newer, you know, just getting into it, you know, fresh fans. But the away kit, which we can talk about, is more well loved by true long-term OG soccer fans.
I can buy that.
I would second that, because to cut to the chase, I see myself buying the away kit. But I'm not touching that.
I've really come around on the away kit. I like it.
Me too.
It's got that kind of clean... I generally like clean kits anyways. I don't like when they get real busy. It's just kind of more traditional soccer kit.
But if you want to get a little silly, they have that steel plate pattern to it, but it's subtle enough that you'll never pick it up on TV. So it plays one way from a distance and plays a different way up close. It's a little detail about it is they have, so you have the main gray bar in the middle where the 84 lumber logo sits, and then they have gray stripes right above them, or right above and below it, and the upper stripe on the chest meets the lower stripe for the same pattern on the sleeve. And I was like, I really like that little detail to it.
Me too.
It seems like some of those Adidas template kits, the pattern would get really weird as they like sized up and down, or even just jersey to jersey, because just didn't really have like much care to it.
It did not have attention to detail, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas this does.
Yeah.
I was very concerned about the badges not being sewn on. The gentleman representing Charlie, name is not Charlie. he had a long-winded explanation for what it is, but it felt like it was fancy, flowery speech for Iron Press. But he seemed very assured that it would not be falling off.
It doesn't feel like it will. I bought both kits because I regret not buying both kits the last 2 years. But it definitely feels a little sturdier than I thought it was going to be. My only complaint with that is it's like gummy. Like, that's a weird way to say it, but it's like a weird, like that soft plastic. I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but
it's rubbery.
Kind of feels like an eraser. Yeah, like a rubbery, and I just don't know. I don't like the feel of it, and that's just a texture thing for me.
I was going to say texture thing is a joke, and then you did it right there.
Yeah, it's the big C feels real smooth and rubbery like that, and I'm not a fan. It doesn't seem like it's... I tried, fussing with it last night. It seems pretty sturdy. It's pressed all the way through, so it's not like it's only pressed on the outer ring. Like, the whole logo is pressed into the shirt, so I think it'll stay. I think it looks... It's weird to me, the texture, like I said, but... yeah.
I do enjoy that it's not a template, just for the sake of what you're talking about before, Vesti, of they can be more creative with it. Maybe this is just a starting off point for where this partnership goes. The kits themselves, like I said, I'm in for the away one, the home one, absolutely not. The little touches, doing that, the outline of the badge on the lower right hip is kind of fun.
The 412 on the collar.
The 412 on the collar.
Yeah, my two favorite.
Yes.
One's 412 and one's PGH. I'm not going to remember which one is which.
The home is the 412, the away is the PGH.
That's it. I like that on the back collar. And I also like how the logo, the sponsor logos aren't obnoxiously sponsor logo color. It's still right in the middle, but like the AHN is all white, so it like isn't loud, it doesn't mesh with the kit, and I think it looks amazing on the away kit with the 84 Lumber being, you know, that yellow across that gray band right in the middle of the chest. I think, you know, they may have fought tooth and nail to give up the color of their logo, but I think it looks so much sleeker that way, and I think it'll just it tied, you know, the kits together, in my opinion, that I just think that they look more meshed as one than they did with, you know, the green AHN or the blue and red 84 Lumber across the belly. So
speaking of
that touch,
I find it weird, not interesting, I find it weird, peculiar, that 84 Lumber gets the tramp stamp spot on the home jerseys, but AHN doesn't get the same on the away jerseys.
I agree. I want to know why. I mean, it could just be that's the deal, but...
That's the deal, but just... Yeah.
I would think that you would want it. I don't know.
That was the same last year, wasn't it?
It was. I'm just... The opportunity presented itself, so I'm voicing the thought.
It's one thing we haven't talked about yet with the kits is they're soft.
I do like the material.
100% polyester. The material feels so soft on the skin. I'm hoping that, you know, post washing. I mean, I presume it'll stick that way. But it they're soft. I think that they're going to feel great, like when you have it on. And they have each of the kits come with this, like the tag that has like the price and the barcode on it. It's like a little booklet, and every page of the booklet gives you a different piece of information with the kits. They are moisture wicking, they are antibacterial, they are like odor preventing. So there's like all these, they have UV protection.
A shirt. Yes, it's a shirt. I get that.
Yeah, but like it's, I don't know, it's all of those like little things will, you know, feel better when we're standing out in 90 degree heat in the direct sunlight.
Wearing an all black shirt. Well, some of you will be, yeah. not me.
No, I'll probably have the away kit on more often. I love the away kit.
I think Jeff's assessment is correct. I don't want to call them plastics, but you know, the casuals.
Yeah.
The newbie casuals will like the home kit more, and the more seasoned veterans of the game will enjoy the away one more. That's probably a fair assessment. I'm still blown away at the response online. I was waiting to log in and just see people just pissing on this thing left and right. Did not happen.
No.
What? Oh, you know what? You missed it last night, Vesty. They had all the staff wearing these sweet little Charlie shirts. Like a polo shirt, but not. I don't even know how to describe the style of it.
Yeah, it was polo-y.
Polo adjacent?
Polo-esque.
And the material was, I like that material that it was made from. I don't know if that's the same material as the kits, but they had that. And then the players who were not modeling the kits were wearing these...
They were
faux,
slick.
Like 80s baseball warm-up satin jacket things with the Hounds logo. Mm-hmm. And I'd buy that fucker right now.
Yep. That, and you guys haven't been to a preseason game to see them, but their beanie hats that the players have are sick. I would buy the beanie and that jacket, just like you said, in a heartbeat. Give me those right now, and I will drop a lot of money on those. Let me see if I have a picture I can share. The beanies are the same color scheme as the away kits. And I feel like if I had been more cognizant of like watching what the players were wearing at preseason, I probably would have picked up on that might be what the kits. So they're gray and yellow striped. They say Riverhounds across the front. with the logo. Like they say Riverhound's like in the actual hat part of the beanie, in one of the stripes. And then they're the, you know, Riverhound's logo, and then their number is stitched into the fold of the beanie. And they have a little pom-pom on top. And I would theft one of those if it weren't for the fact that it has the players' numbers on them, because they're nice. But those hats are fantastic. I want them. If the front office is listening, and I know they do, I want one of those, please. And thank you.
I'd be curious how much the club makes off merch this year. Because when people beeline to that merch table last night.
Mm.
And
yeah, I had to wait till the very end.
I was not sitting in line to buy a shirt. They good on them. I think they got some hits on their hands, even though I don't like the one. The masses will probably dictate otherwise.
Yeah, we focus on the kits, but potentially the opportunity for I'm assuming a total refresh of for Charlie branded things and whatever else they make. The store itself has been kind of stale over the last couple of years with the, I guess there's just a ton of Adidas stuff that they bought that didn't really move. So
are they still trying to push like the super old logo Nike merch somewhere like in a back corner?
Maybe
not since Jeff noticed.
Okay.
Yeah, then Poland.
It's.
But I think he talked about having like a throwback night and then just putting all of that stuff out, and you know, a la throwback. Hey, you want to buy some of the old shit? Get rid of it for us.
Nah, on the right price, I probably would.
Yeah.
But when they they kept that stuff in the store and they didn't drop the price as they switched to a new logo and new manufacturer, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Vesty, any final thoughts on the kits today?
Nope, I think we got it.
All right. Ariana, any grand proclamations?
No.
All right. Congrats, club. You're probably making some bank on this. Good on them. And apparently everyone's asking customization. It sounds like you'll be able to take your shirt to the shop, pro team store, or whatever they want to call it, and get it done there. I've had multiple people ask us on Twitter what that's going to be like, and I just like take it to the store.
Yeah, I think because Charlie does a lot of it in house, you'll be able to order it.
Yeah, but if you already bought it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, if anyone finds out for sure, let us know. Or let other people know. Yeah. Festy, the Open Cup. MLS is trying to fuck with it, man.
Ryan. They are.
It sounds like they're doing more than trying. I'm just sad, man.
It's infuriating.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm angry. I mean, people have probably picked up on that. I'm a little angry about it. To recap, for those of you who have not been glued to social media or your favorite soccer reporter who is as not in the back pocket of Major League Soccer or actually talking about this story, after it was decided in December that Major League Soccer was not going to be able to throw in their next pro teams in lieu of their first teams, as they were citing fixture congestion that was completely self-made. They apparently kept at it. Didn't take no for an answer the first time, which is good on them because it seems like they're getting their way. And they might be down to as few as eight teams. Eight in the Open Cup this year.
Boo!
Yes. All the USL teams after Himini and Hong sound like they're still in. Or they're definitely still in. Obviously, the amateur teams that already qualified in, they're still in. Anisa's most certainly in after they finally got around to releasing a schedule, which is the reason we thought was the delay for not having an Open Cup format. saving all the kind of the bigger details of why this is happening, why this is happening now. I might try to get someone on here to, we'll do kind of a long format piece on the Open Cup. Because I've had this conversation enough in the last couple days. Clearly all three of us here know this is bad, not fans of it. Either of you two concerned that this, the 2024 vintage of the Open Cup might be the last one?
No.
Which, I mean, at this point, just trying to get this one going.
Well, I feel like next year. I feel like we've crossed the all that coast of the same thing 2.5 months ago. So the fuck I know. I feel like they've got this thing over the line this year. Part of the backstory, it's hard to talk about this without going a little bit in the weeds here. Part of the backstory is by all accounts, U.S. soccer was working hard to find new sponsorship and funding and really give the tournament a kick in the ass, which is one of the complaints that MLS was citing. And seeing as MLS, you know, Garber is on the board of U.S. soccer, would have to have known that they were working on making this thing more viable, more successful, more lucrative for all parties involved, which makes their timing of bitching and complaining about it all the more inquisitive. It feels a bit sabotaging on their part, knowing that the things that they say they wanted were just around the corner, but
Well, the things they wanted depends on what week you ask them, because it's a different demand every so often.
Yeah, because you have to keep changing, moving the goalposts. Because what they really want is more autonomy on the schedule. You know, it's schedule congestion that they created with the League's Cup.
Yeah.
Every dollar that is spent in America needs to be spent on Major League Soccer and not elsewhere. And these are dollars that are spent elsewhere, and that they just can't go for that. So
it's all money control.
Like I said, I might try to get someone on here, and we can get into a very, very nerdy hour on the Open Cup. But we will save everyone the pain of that for now. But as it stands now, the Open Cup is still on, with at least less professional teams, less MLS teams. The CONCACAF spot appears to still be safe and attached to the tournament. So maybe the result of this is a non-MLS team winning this damn thing. And if any motherfucker tries to put an asterisk on it this year, I might choke a bitch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're talking about 8 teams in the round of 16, and then there'd be 8 lower league teams. So, you're already at a pretty good chance of a team making it all the way, especially after the last few years.
The Riverhounds. We can put the name in there. The Riverhounds making it the whole way.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess until we... I'm sorry, go on.
I was saying, presumably the 8 teams they're going to pick are the 8 shit teams in MLS, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they said they were offering Houston.
Yeah, I think Houston
the chance to defend the title.
Yeah, but you,
and then this 7 other shit teams.
They're not letting Inter Miami touch this thing. No one's making a buck off of Messi except Major League Soccer. They ain't giving anyone else a chance.
Yep. Yeah, it's
even though he would never fucking play at
Highmark Stadium,
Lynn Family Stadium, Patriots Point. Can you imagine Messi at Patriots Point?
Messi at Patriots Point? Nope.
Let's do it.
Not on that field.
It's natural. He doesn't want to play on turf. That's natural grass. Go for it, man.
It is, but it's also 90% sand.
They gotta be protective of their golden goose at the beginning of the season too when this tournament happens. If this was in the fall and he's already...
You can't give this man fixture congestion by doing some whirlwind international tour right before the season starts. You would never do such a thing.
That's irresponsible and reckless. Yeah, he's not already stretched thin or anything.
Yeah. Updates to come, but
yeah.
Go on.
No, I don't. I just gonna to put a cap on it about what's happening. I saw a comment, and I think it really sums it up, is that MLS is acting like they're the NFL without the actual clout of the NFL, and they're trying to act like every other American sports league, but they seem to forget that they are part of a larger ecosystem where the other sports leagues are not. You know, they're part of U.S. soccer. U.S. soccer is part of CONCACAF. Like, there's the quote-unquote pyramid, and they seem like they think they can just do whatever they want. They're getting pushed back, and hopefully the Federation continues to push back on that.
They want the stuff that they want, what they need from U.S. soccer without putting anything back in. Yep. I think the Garber comment last night during their season opener last night, he did the interview with, you know, whoever, who's, you know, not going to ask any actual tough questions. And his comment was something to the line of basically that MLS underwrites the entire tournament, and they don't, there needs to be something different about that. I'm like, last I checked, like, everyone's paying the same performance bond. Everyone's paying the same hosting fees. It goes up when Major League Soccer gets involved, but, you know, that game that the Hounds hosted against Columbus, the hosting fee was the same no matter if that game was in Pittsburgh or in Columbus. You know, everyone's chipping in the same amount.
You're paying more money because you're coming in later at the point of the tournament where it gets more expensive. Come in early if you don't want to pay so much.
Yeah, like, but this is the same league where teams, when they were allowed to, would buy the home games away from lower league teams, and now they're going to sit there and say that it's not that they're underwriting the entire tournament. Fuckers. Absolute fuckers. I mean,
they should be happy that the USL has been doing better the last 2 years. They're less teams got to pay money.
Yeah.
I don't. It's they're acting like they're an American sports league that is the top and the controller of the sport, but they're not. And I also wonder. I'd be very curious about the. I mean, they're all rich billionaire fucks, but I'd be curious about the breakdown of their internal conversations. All the new ownership groups are a lot of like NFL guys or you know, traditional American sports or investors who probably are not used to how it works in soccer. And I'd be curious if they're the ones that really push for this, and if some of the other groups are maybe less less gung-ho about what they're trying to do.
If somehow FC Dallas is not in this tournament, it's a crime that any of these teams are missing, but if Dallas of all teams is not in this thing, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Last point.
We're
running out of last points here.
Going longer than we wanted.
I told myself I wasn't going to do this. Damn it! Major League Soccer complaining that this tournament does not generate enough interest, spectators, or revenue, and then 6 months later saying they want 40% of the away gate. So, like, does this thing make money or not?
No.
Yeah.
AML, so some
no
of those,
one shows up, but we need 40% of the gate. Okay. Fuckers.
Some of those pre-Messi Leagues Cup matches wasn't bringing the crowd either, buddy.
Whatever. Okay, moving on for... That went longer than I wanted to anyways, but here we are. Hey, the annual general meeting is on Saturday. Do you guys know that?
Yeah. You ready for it? I'm not.
I don't know. Is there anything else I have to get ready for on Saturday?
You call it? Call the vote? Do you have a task.
I'll get there. So yeah, the AGM is Saturday, 2 p.m., Highmark Stadium. We do have an a competitive election for the member, the two member rep spots. So if you are a member, be down there, cast your vote. All votes matter. Vote or die. Mm-hmm. Vesti will be there to enforce the die part of it, as he does every year.
I gotta get my my t-shirt so I can rip my jacket open right behind you.
Yeah, and then have someone behind you with, you know, like a baseball bat or something. Be good. So we'll do that part. Sounds like we're going to try to vote on a couple bylaw changes, just kind of clean up the language a little bit. Nothing too exciting, just make it a little cleaner.
You're really selling why you want to come.
I know. We're gonna talk about how we make some money, how we spend some money. That's exciting stuff. Might announce an away trip, the tentative plans for an away trip. That's fun. Ariana, what else are we talking about?
Changes to shirts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Changes the merch. Shirt again, all the exciting
merch,
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most important part, and we've totally buried the lead, it's your first chance to pick up the membership kit.
Woo-hoo!
New scarf.
I'm so excited for this one.
New scarf. New membership card, complete with membership number. And a tote bag.
A tote bag.
We're giving away tote bags.
Quite excited.
No more plastic bags in Allegheny County, so here's a tote bag.
Exactly.
We're looking out for you people.
Yeah. It can't go into the stadium, but it can go everywhere else.
Yeah. So that's at 2:00. Hounds versus Pitt at 4:00. Stick around. Watch the Hounds hopefully compete better than it did a week ago. And then watch the Hounds of the future on the other side of the field. Be like Bob. Bob will just be watching the other team. Already working for 2025. And the weather looks, what, low 30s? Low 30s, but dry.
Bundle up, folks.
Low 30s, but dry.
Hope you enjoyed that sun this week, because it's going away.
Ariana, will be there.
It's supposed to be like, I will be.
Yep. I'll be there. Vesti, you'll be there, right? You don't miss
anything. Yep, I'll be there.
Oh, you're going to be there.
Yep, I got my schedule cleared.
Shocking. I love it.
If you get it, you can pencil in me yelling about the Open Cup for like 3:30 and maybe the former DK Sports office or something.
Okay, if anyone wants to have an Open Cup bitch fest, the old DK office is at 3:30. We'll pull Jeff in and we'll get him to give us some inside dirt. Yeah, it's like Open Cup therapy, 3:30 p.m. I assume the bar will be open at some point. No guarantees. And if you show up at 11, you can watch the Pitt women's lacrosse get absolutely boat raced by Boston College.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you. Yeah. Full day for you. After that, what? We still got the watch party for the season opener at Bulldog. All Hounds Eve. Sounds like plans are coming along for that, right, Ariana? For the night before the home opener.
Yeah.
She's trying.
6:00 ish.
She's working on the guest list.
I am.
The special guest list.
Working on some special attendees. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be there, so.
Other special attendees.
Already a great guest list, but yeah.
Yeah.
More special attendees, so. 6:00 start. Be there. Be square. Pitch on Butler.
And then the
has
next
an indoor
day
and an outdoor space. Oh, so let's hope for good weather.
And then the next day, you go from drinking all night to drinking all day. Hounds v. Orange County.
Woohoo!
All right. I feel like that's enough for now. I feel like we've covered an hour pretty well. Went down just one little tangent of a Open Cup side quest there. Vesti, what did we learn tonight?
Oh, God, you're bringing this back.
Oh, yeah.
I learned I don't have good fashion sense.
No. Okay, I learned, in that case, I'm just going to say that I learned that the youth have poor fashion taste. Ariana, split the difference on us here.
I learned that the better fashion sense belongs to the away kit.
Word. We'd like to thank the Beautiful Game Network for providing the online hosting of Houndsy. Check out the wealth of soccer content being produced weekly at bgn.fm. The Houndsy theme music was composed and performed by Rocketman and the Space Babies. Check them out at facebook.com/spacebabiesPGH. The show is produced by Joe Madrek. Email the show at pghstewarmy@gmail.com and put podcast in the subject line. All complaints about the show can be sent to our complaint department, Nick Noble. He's at nick.noble@mail.wvu.edu. On behalf of Nick Noble, Ariana Vesti, I'm Dan Yost. Thank you for listening, and we will be back again soon.